You're listening to the Hammersley Brothers podcast. If you'd like to get started with three of our best tools, see the link in the show notes. They're free and video training is included.
Hello and welcome to the Hammersley Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week we're going to go through another case study using the dominoes to grow your e-commerce site. So let's get started. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good afternoon. Seeing you for the first time in high def. Finally, I've got a better camera than you. Also, I've got lights that make me look tanned and healthy.
Trouble is all this
audio
gear,
which makes me sound like I've not
can't rock
got
up
tissue
and just
stuff
turn up.
Nose.
Yeah, you've got your double chin highlighted out.
No, I've got lighting that gets rid of double. It says anti-double chin on the light mode.
Is that why your computer's running so hot to kind of like AI out?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought we'd better get started since we've been sitting here for an hour just fiddling around with tech. And, yeah. It's all good.
Is this annoying? Because when we first started the podcast many years ago, we just focused purely on what we were talking about and had no prep time at all in getting lights sorted out. Which was lovely, actually, wasn't it? And actually, it does show that, like most things, you should just crack on
just
get stuff done. Yeah. And then, you know, you can worry about making it and finessing it later down the line. Otherwise, you just don't start anything. Because I tell you the truth, if we'd started off doing the podcast with the faff of all of this tech, we would definitely not have started.
There was a very loud ambulance going past.
Did you hear that? I was going to question, you know, I thought maybe my high-tech audio would filter that out.
No.
Well, I'm in the centre of Manchester. Unfortunately, it happens so often that you don't hear it. It's like a kind of, you know.
It's just one of those things.
You just phase it out.
To be honest, it's a lot quieter than like somewhere like New York. Anyway, well, let's get into it, Ian, because we've been waiting for an hour to start it, and we should get into it. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to continue to do the case studies, which we took people through to basically the dominoes. We went through the dominoes first, didn't we? The six dominoes of e-commerce, of getting the e-commerce sale. And then we thought we'd give examples of clients we'd scaled or clients we know about. Because the first two were with us. Some of them won't maybe these today is like kind of a combination of those because we can't mention names, but we'll give a good overview of them. And we'll take you through the dominoes for three more today, hopefully. We'll see how we get on, but we'll see how we go. So the idea is that then you can start to see how the dominoes work in real time. So the first one is a cosmetics business. Now, this was one that worked with us, and they scaled pretty much from zero. They came onto one of my startup groups, doing pretty much zero, just launching. Well, now they're shooting. They've got a run rate for 10 million. So they've going really well, and done a lot of cosmetics. And the thing about cosmetics is that it's a great product if you can get it started because of the lifetime value. Like it's like everybody wants to do it because you know if you get it going, people like skincare. I worked with someone in skincare who did something with Air New Zealand in like the 1980s, and they're still riding on the coattails of that today because. You know, once someone gets the skincare routine that works, they'll stick with it up until a point when it doesn't work. But most they'll stick for a long, long time. And so, but there's obviously always a lot of people trying to get those customers at the beginning. So it's hard to recruit sometimes because of the competition. But once you got them, you get them for a long time. So it's a great business.
And the margins. The
margin's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like once you get in. The loyalty is just unreal. In fact, it's an amazing e-commerce business because it's normally quite cheap to send. Postage is cheap. Margins are, you're talking like, you know, 80% plus in most cases. And the lifetime customer value, I mean, you know, with skincare, cosmetic, you'd be talking probably four times a year, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, and not just the first year. I mean, you know, 10 years worth. It's an incredible, but
yeah, I mean,
it's all down to your recruitment. So if you can, because it's competitive, right? You know, there's a lot of people going for the same space. So you have to, it's all down to, can we resonate with the customer in the right way? isn't it? It's yeah. all about positioning.
I think we also had in e-commerce, we had the explosion of people making their own cosmetics at home and then trying to sell them online. There was, I think, a lot of people, well, actually some of the people we work with were actually ingredients. They provided the ingredients to those people. And that was a big market in of itself, because everybody wanted to get going. But then from that, there's been some very, very good success we're going to take you through. So I think the first domino is the busy restaurant test. So do you want to talk about the busy restaurant test for this one, to see what they did and how they got people to be convinced that it was a busy restaurant rather than a quiet restaurant?
Yeah. Well, so often the cosmetics conversation starts before they've even come to the website. And a few of these, you know, it's not just cosmetics that's unique to this. There's others, but the homepage really is the Instagram or the Facebook ad. And I think the thing to think about with cosmetics or anything that you have to, you know, put on your face or rub on your skin or put in your hair, is that they cannot experience the product at all. They can't touch it, feel it, use it online. The only thing they've got to go off is what other people say about it. And, you know, you can say something until you're blue in the face, but it's much more powerful if you get customers saying it for you. So, but not just saying, well, this is great, you know, it arrived next day, you know, fantastic customer service. You have to lead with it. So really the overwhelming thing I would say about the busy restaurant test, the first domino, the positioning, is other people raving about it. So if I'm doing an initial top of funnel ad where I'm doing some Instagram content, it would all be about what people are saying about it. And that's where I would start. And very much the, you know, things like 100,000 Americans can't be wrong type messaging if they did come to the site. So very much around, oh my God, you know, you want people to feel like, oh my God, I can't believe I've never heard of this. Look at all these people raving about it. Oh my God, I'm so glad I found this brand.
Well, the skepticism is high in this market, isn't it? It's like everybody's always saying, oh, this is going to cure my eczema. This is going to clean my skin. This is going to make me look younger. And everybody's heard it so many times before that really they have to hear it from the public, don't they? They have to see it. So in that market, you're going to be particularly influenced by the comments and the shares and the likes and that kind of back up your top best-selling adverts. And so if you have adverts, you know, to find a good advert, you might accept a slightly lower ROAS, knowing that if you keep running that advert, you're going to have likes and shares and comments on it later, which will push up the conversion rate. And in fact, what I've found is that the comments on the ad and how you reply to those comments have had a really big impact on cosmetics. Is that's where people, like, I think what you said before about discover where your homepage is. Like, if you discover where your homepage is, and by that I mean it's not necessarily the first page on the website, like the actual homepage on the website. The homepage might be Instagram, or it might be in the comments section of your ads. It's effectively the homepage is where someone works out what the brand is. That's what the homepage is. It's that greeter page. So often, you know, if you're doing Google Shopping, which is not the case for this one, that the homepage is the product page. So it's kind of like, what is the homepage? And for cosmetics, it's sometimes like a really full Facebook ad, or your Facebook page, or your Instagram page. So those are the things you've got to realize, because that's where people are doing the discovery. And sometimes in those businesses, the website's actually just an order taker. So you know, it's just someone just transactional.
I think I'll just say another thing about, because we were chatting with another sort of cosmetic related brand actually at the weekend, actually, because we love talking to people at the weekend, and we were talking about the positioning. And there's sometimes with cosmetics type products, there's different positioning. You know, there's some health elements, there's some beauty elements, and then, you know, there's some sort of the way it feels, you know, and what it's doing. So there are different angles of it. So I think you have to understand where you're coming in. So if you want to go for a particular, like if it is eczema, or if it is you know, something for menopausal women, or it is something for people with dry skin, or it's, you know, you have to understand that. You know, you've got to understand, where am I going to position it? And that obviously is key, because everyone's got a face. Most people have a face, so you You know, you can't just go and say, I want to target people who have faces. Yeah. You know, you've got to go, well, you know.
Well, you do get that, particularly in startups. And you say, well, who are you targeting? And we'll go, you know, men, women between the ages of 18 and 65. It's like, well, that's pretty much everybody. You know, like who in that demographic? Oh, people who've got money. It's like, well, like obviously they have to have money to buy the product. So you're basically saying people, anybody with money, who's a woman in the UK? Like it's not, that's not a targeting. That's not a demographic. That's not, that's not you can go after.
We did a podcast actually about the meta positioning. We actually called it the meta makeover, didn't we? But it's actually the positioning test. And it was in, was it December last year? And that was a good, you could probably link to it in the show notes, but that was a good, it was a good thing to do.
that involves editing. So we
don't have
we
to edit
won't.
It. You have to copy and paste. Lorenz.
Yeah.
Please do that.
He doesn't watch it.
Anyway. Let's move on, because that's the greeter. That's the first.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the right
positioning.
It's the greeter. It's the right message. Busy it's kind of like getting people interested.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
And then, like, and then it comes down to the. Can I go to the next one?
I was just going to say, like, if it's a busy restaurant, I could walk past a busy McDonald's and would have no effect on me because it's not. I don't care that it's busy. Lots of people. It's not people like me eating in there. So therefore, you've got to be the restaurant has got to be busy with people. That are like you, that are positioned to be like you. So that's an important to know. You kind of alluded to that. Yeah. So the next one's a navigational flow. Why don't you talk about navigational flow?
Yeah, navigational flow, which is helping people find the right product. Sometimes people will land. So what's happened here is that they've landed on the product page. You know, so which is typically where you know if it's a Instagram ad or it's a you know Google Shopping ad, they're landing on the product page, and you'll either have there will be certain levels of awareness where there'll be some of them will go, yeah, that's exactly the right product for me. Some of them will be the right product for them, but they don't know it. They need reassurance. Some of them will just not have a clue, you know, what product they need. So you have to give them some way of finding the right product. So if it was like a cosmetics one, this particular one, it was find the perfect skin cream in under 20 seconds. It was like a quiz. Little wizard thing. It sit there right at the top, and in this case, because normally we do breadcrumbs, we say get the breadcrumbs right. But it was like a little, you know, 20-second skin challenge. You know, right. I can't remember exactly what we called it. We put that really high above the fold, which was giving them a confidence that this was, you know, they're going to find the right. I mean, it might have even put them back to the same product again, but it gave them the reassurance that it was the right type of product. So without that, if they're not quite sure where to go. They've got nowhere to go, and guess what? They bounce. You know, they just disappear. Shut the page down.
Well, I think like kind of we were talking about where's the homepage, but that's when the actual homepage of the website comes into consideration. Because if they land on the product page, the types of people who find themselves on the homepage are the people that kind of like don't really know what to do, what to buy. And they kind of lost. They land on a product page, or they land in a category, and they go, well, I'm not really sure about this. I'm going to go to the homepage. And so the homepage then becomes the place where you put the quiz, doesn't it? Like the quiz or the kind of sorting hat, the Harry Potter sorting hat to kind of put people into the right places. Also, you can link to it from the product page, but you'll see a lot of big brands now putting that quiz on the homepage because that's where it's important to kind of like capture those people who don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah. And I would be quite clear on the product page as well. I put it pretty high. But basically, that's fine. That's quite straightforward. It's like, find the perfect product. Take our quiz. And if you're going to do a quiz, don't you say, take our quiz. You know, what you want to say is, discover the perfect skin in 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Because you want to make it for that type of thing.
It's like it's like the personality test, isn't it? Whatever, you know, everybody wants to do the personality test. So you do the equivalent of that for your industry. It's like, you know, it's like the entrepreneurs, find the type of business that we would run for your personality. And it's like, oh, I've got to take that because I don't want to be running
sometimes
the wrong person.
Actually, take this one step further. We've actually brought in some brands, we've brought in a celebrity or a trusted, credible source, and said, take our. So it was somebody with who was doing jujitsu, and they had trying to find the size guide, and there was a famous world champion jujitsu, and it said, take our. I can't remember what the name was, but take our. Yeah. You know, Jim Peterson's.
Yeah. So like the example would be like with Michael Jordan. Take Michael Jordan's shoe chooser guide. And like, if he'd like that, people think that he's written it, then they're going to take much more likely to take it. And it takes like a quiz, elevates the energy of it. And then it goes, oh, I want to take that quiz because Michael Jordan's going to tell me what shoes to have. Like, that's pretty cool.
So put it this way. If you had a physical store, a retail store, and your perfect customer came in, what would be the questions you would ask? Mm. You know, and that would give you an idea of what to put in the quiz.
Mm.
Asked when you certain questions. So, right, we'll go to the next one. Next domino.
Job to be done.
So the next domino is the job to be done. Now, the job to be done and the anxiety domino, which is the fourth one, very much linked together, which is like, job to be done is what they want, and the anxiety is what they don't want, what they might be worried about. And so in cosmetic, you actually have to lead into both. There are certain industries where you might take what more from, the next one would be women's clothing. We take more from the job to be done domino, because that's about creating desirability. But in the cosmetics, it's actually both. So, you know, what they really want is proof that it's going to work for them. Obviously, you've seen the before and after. I mean, that's the class. You've already seen this. You know, it's evident. This is what it's like before. And then this is
I've got this
and
now.
It's that type of,
want that. It's like, is the job to be done? How do you know it be successful? That's what it is they want to achieve. You know, you see that a lot, and it works very well. The only thing is, you've got to be careful. First of all, it's hard to get those images. And second of all, it doesn't work for everybody. Like in terms of like, that's not me, and they, you know, can put people off as well. So you've got to be very careful with what you say and what you use.
Yeah, but I don't think it has to be necessarily imagery. You know, it can be. I mean, it comes into the trust and credibility domino, which is the fifth one, but it's showing evidence very much so that it's supporting the job to be done. You know, I suffered from eczema for years, and then I found your soaps. And instantly,
a big part of the job to be done.
I couldn't believe it.
A big part of the job to methodology, and it's not just the job to be done, but it's the whole methodology behind it. Is the trigger, and the trigger in cosmetics is effectively something has happened to that person to make them swap skincare routine. And if you can understand that, then that's who you're selling to. So you're not going to sell to someone who's just happy with a skincare routine. Something has to change. Maybe they've got pregnant and their skin type's changed, or maybe they've gone through menopause, or maybe they've developed an allergy for something, or, you know, there's all these things, or perhaps that the existing one has changed the ingredients and they're having a problem with it. So those are the triggers. And therefore, once you can understand the triggers and why people are coming to you and trying something different, you can then talk to those demographics, which is why in skincare, you'll see lots of adverts for menopausal women, lots of adverts for people who've just had children, or people getting pregnant. There's all those things. It's when people change. There's only certain times when they change and certain triggers that they change. So those are the adverts that we'll talk to those, because effectively it's like, you know, people can be slightly unhappy with their skincare routine, but they won't change unless there's a real trigger.
So
it's understanding the trigger.
I'll tell you one thing. So often the job to be done falls into one of two things: convincibility or desirability. So this is very much convincibility play. So if we were selling clothing, men's fashion, women's fashion, it tends to be desirability. And that's what we're pushing in the job to be done. Whereas cosmetic, it's actually, I know there's a lot of an emotional angle, but it is mainly about convincibility. Mm. You know, it's about convincing people that it is going to work without saying that, because obviously you have to be very careful.
But it is
mainly a convincibility domino.
Yeah, it is. And then you come on to anxiety, which is the fourth domino. The anxiety is all the things that have gone wrong with that product for that person in the past that they will think, oh, I hope it's not one of these ones. Oh, I've tried new things before and it's given me a rash. Or I've tried those things before and it's used these kind of ingredients. Yeah. Or I don't like the smell.
Or it smells awful.
And they'll come from mining the reviews.
It doesn't lather well, or just lead into your reviews, both of them. You know, we go and do your anxiety analysis, go and do your review mining. And that's where we get it all from. That's where we get the tone of voice from. That's where we get positioning ideas from. It's just by looking at the reviews.
Yeah, yeah. And you'll get overwhelmingly, like we're working with someone who sells soap, and overwhelmingly, if you look at the soap market, it's smell. Like people just, they like it or they don't like it because of the smell, and that can really put them off. So it's kind of like they'll think that they'll be convinced it works. They'll be convinced it's going to use it for their skin, but they go, well, I just don't like certain smells. And so therefore, how can you be, you know, how can I be trustworthy that I can buy this? Because if they're buying in a shop, they can smell it. They just got to pick it up and go, well, that smells nice. I'll buy that soap. So it's online.
But
you
it's
can't.
Like, you know, I wouldn't personally lean in to the anxiety of smell.
But you wouldn't lead with, you know, smell. That's not the positioning. No, but it's kind of like it's an anxiety after it. Yeah.
It's interesting, yeah. Isn't it? Because we've had quite a few brands who've gone for the sustainability angle. And if you think about, you know, when you're trying to get your positioning right, is it sustainability, which I would say would mainly be secondary anxiety, but the most important one is a job to be done. And that you know, and I think you'd get a much better, I mean, it depends on what it is, of course.
Well, it's sustainability is almost like a secondary thing, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, really, yeah. I mean, you know, so I think with the anxiety ones, you know, you can do things like try at home. You know, you can, try, if you're not, you can send it back even on, you know, even if you open it, even if you use it, take off 30-day challenge. We, you know, if your skin doesn't feel better in 30 days, you don't pay. You do all those kind of things and make that part of the marketing messaging.
Yeah, it's removing all the excuses to not move forward, really. You've convinced them of the thing you need to convince them of. And then it's like, but what about? But what about? But what about? Yeah. It's all those things that you're just kind of going. And that's really, I talk about that, like that, like the above the fold product page content is the stuff that you convince them that they want it in the first place. All the stuff below the fold is to get rid of all those, oh, what about? Oh, yeah. What about? Oh, what about? Those reasons under there. And so you can have a long product page just to reassure people that it's like, oh, we've covered that. And that's
what it's
like.
And actually, I say there's one other thing we often find with the cosmetics side of it. We do dedicated landing pages that are different to the normal product page in Shopify. So we've done we might suggest doing, a Facebook ad that goes actually straight, that we might be top of funnel and actually goes to a landing page. It's got a lot more of the story behind the product. Not always, but that's an interesting one to go. I think the next, unless you've got anything else on that, Domino, but the next domino,
no,
it's fine, is the trust and credibility one. And that this is absolutely key to selling cosmetics. So if you could, like, you know, certain industries, you lean more into the dominoes, you know, some of the dominoes than others. And I would say that the initial busy restaurant test, the first domino, the positioning of the brand, and trust credibility one, which is the fifth one, they're absolutely key. Because like I said at the start, in cosmetics, you've got to realize that because they can't touch the product, feel the product, use the product online, it's not really a visual thing, the way the product packaging looks, part of it, but it's mainly down to what other people are saying about it.
That's, and which kind of people as well. It's like,
exactly, which type of people. And so it's really, really important. So those highlighted reviews and the trust and credibility is just, it's kind of like make or break, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. If they've seen you for the first time, you've got to realize you've got no trust and credibility with the client because they know you're going to say everything to them. So effectively, you're saying, well, who can we borrow trust and credibility from that they'll believe that we can then use to convince you? So it's about borrowing trust and credibility either off a celebrity or someone in the industry who's important or a lot of people.
I'd say, you know, if you're not in the position where you've got any of those things, make the most of what you've got. You know, do not have a product that you're pushing on, you know, paid media that has no reviews, no question and answers, nothing, no social proof, no trust and credibility on that page at all. It just won't work. It's like,
I think sometimes you people can get away with it in cosmetics because you can sell it just from a Facebook ad with really good comments and shares and likes and all those kind of stuff. You can almost do all the job. And then you'll get so far with a product landing page where people will just be a transactional website. But that will only get you to a certain level. it won't get you to like 10 million, 20 million. It will only get you so far.
I'll just point out one important thing, actually, that we're assuming here that this is your own brand of cosmetics, okay?
Mm.
Not you're reselling other people's stuff. That's completely different with all of these. Mm. So just to highlight that point. Anyway, and then should we go to the next domino, which is the final one, which is the offer. And simply with this one, what we like to do with cosmetics is we like to get the average order value up. So we like to do like a value tree. So we like to say, right, if you spend, you know, looking at your average order value, but just a simple value tree. It's like if you spend 50 quid, you might get a free delivery. You spend 80 quid, you might get a free, you know, hand cream. You spend 100 quid, you might get the free, you know, hand cream, and you might get the face serum, whatever it might be. But we're trying to get the average order value up. So if they're coming on buying their normal thing, we're trying to get them to go. And what we often try and do is sell horizontally. So we try and get loyalty for the main. So if it's face cream, we try and get loyalty for the face cream. Once we've got the loyalty for the face cream, we'll then try and get loyalty around the hand cream. So we'll make it easy for them to buy into a hand cream. And then we want loyalty on the hand cream as well. So when I say loyalty, we're trying to get the lifetime customer value. So we're sort of selling horizontally. They're the main.
You're just building out, aren't you? Because what tends to happen with the cosmetics is people will buy their product and they'll only buy their product, and therefore there won't be much mixing with it unless you actually have a system in place to actually encourage people to try the other products as well.
Yeah.
And it's much better to get the existing customers to try the other products than just new customers to come and try the new products on a trial, because once you know someone buys something from you, they're much more likely to buy other stuff from you because they're an existing customer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then...
Cool.
So that took us about almost 30 minutes to do with the cosmetics
it's like,
one.
Come on. Speed it up. It's supposed to be quick fire.
Well, we'll do the women's clothing one and we'll see. Well, I think we'll probably just do one more and then we'll probably be
funny
done.
Because last week, we were trying to do the podcast and you were like, we'll do all of them.
No way.
And I was like,
it's quite a lot to unpack, isn't it, for each one?
I did say last week we should probably do one, and we've forgotten that.
True.
Completely.
Yeah.
Well, we did. Well, should we do the other?
Could we
split it into two?
We could do. Well, we could finish there, actually.
We
could finish
there.
If we did
these live,
do the next
we could
one.
Ask people what we don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we'll stop there. I think half an hour is enough for people to absorb. Do you know we've done over 200 podcast episodes now?
Wow.
But
you know what's even more impressive than that is that we've got nearly 30 minutes in and we haven't talked about the weather.
Jesus Christ.
I know. What's happened?
It's because you farted around with all your digital stuff that we didn't even think about it.
We did talk about the weather, but before we started. So I think we just got it off the chest.
Yeah.
I know. What are people going to do?
I don't know. They'll just have to go outside and look at the sky on their own.
No. Okay. All right. Well, we'll do it there. So next week we'll do the domino.
We'll do women's clothing.
And
depending on how far, because that might not be as. I think cosmetics is quite hard because there's a lot to unpack there. I don't think it's. I mean, hard is the wrong word. It's a big subject because you're talking about soaps and shampoos and all sorts of stuff, and there's a lot of money in that market. So I know a lot of people are listening too.
And actually, the scalability of it is just phenomenal. If you get it right, it tends to. With cosmetics, I think it tends to just either do nothing or go boof. And it's
also the sellability of those businesses is nice. It's really good. Like you're buying because you like when someone buys a business, the biggest thing they're looking for is customer loyalty, because they're buying a customer list basically. And with shampoos or skincare or those kind of stuff, like they're just buying that stream of loyal customers, and they are sticky and they're going to stay with you. Whereas if you're buying a business that sells one-off purchases, like if you're selling a wedding dress company, you've got to fight for every new customer to come in the door. Like, and that's harder because you've got to have key people to do it. I've seen these businesses, and I don't agree with this, but like I've seen people buy these shampoo businesses and then just jack the price up by 50%. And people still buy because they've got such loyalty in it.
Mm.
But I mean, it's a bit unfair, really.
Well, also there's a lot of trickery that's going on in the cosmetics world. Because look, I mean, you know, some people will create a tub of face cream, and they'll charge $250 for this tiny little, 30 mil pot, which is just unreal. And but because of the price, it's prize framing, isn't it? It's like a, you know, oh, it must be good. And there's a lot of that that's going on.
Well, I think that's why the ordinary came from nowhere, didn't it? Because it kind of went, look, we've just got exactly the same as all these in, but you're just going to pay a lower price for it.
So if anybody doesn't know about the ordinary story, I mean, effectively, they took the highest quality beauty cosmetics products and essentially matched the ingredients and just went in at a very, very, very low, you know, price. So, you know, you were paying like £80 for this product and they were doing it for like 12. And, you know, it was a very, very simple disruption. I mean, we talked a lot about it when we met in Singapore, because we were just thinking about the philosophy of it. Essentially, it was how they had such dominant market disruption, because they'd essentially gone in and, you know.
But they kind of been the first to do that. Must have been loads of people who had done, like, oh, we'll just take the product like that and stuff. It was they obviously, what they got right is the story and the convincibility that theirs was high quality and theirs was as good as that product.
Yeah.
And that
very simple.
Because it's difficult to look at them now as a brand because they're so big. I mean, they're doing millions and millions and millions and millions. Like, so you can't look at them.
They're the biggest product in boots.
Yeah.
Something like that. You know, and I mean, and they came from nowhere. But you know what? The absolute key to these cosmetics businesses is getting the sales and marketing right.
I did look into it when we were talking about it. And I think what they'd done is they'd done it from an influencer point of view. All those blog posts where they go, where like Vogue or someone would review the products and they go, if you need like a retinol skincare screen, you can go and get it from here, from Avalon. You can go and get it from here, from this one. But if you're looking for one that is an affordable option, go for the New Ordinary, which has got these ingredients in it. And I think that's, they were able to get into that conversation. So they were always the like, oh, you could do this cheaper option here. Like if you don't want the Dior, if you don't want this one, I don't know, Dior do skincare, don't they? I don't know. Do they? Avalon, it's probably better. I don't know. I'm sure they do.
But I know what you mean. I mean, essentially, it was a play. I mean, they went in at...
loads of skincare.
But because cosmetics is a convincibility play, not a direct desirability one. So you couldn't do, like with fashion, you couldn't go, oh, I'm going to copy, you know, a Mulberry handbag, you know, or a, a high brand handbag.
But it's having access... You know, it's having
not
access
that
to the
high, one. What's the high? Again, we've chosen subjects. Unfortunately, we don't know anything about handbags. But you know what I'm saying? You couldn't. It's not how it worked. But because cosmetics is convincibility, therefore you can. And it was a classic market disruptor. It was almost just waiting to be.
Yeah, but it's interesting, isn't it? That you've got to have the positioning. You've had the right positioning, but then you've got to have the right messaging. You've got to have the right medium to take that messaging. It was only because The Ordinary got into magazines like Vogue and the blog posts and videos and influencers, and they would say, oh, these are the best ones on this one, but if you want an affordable option, this is it. So it's not just positioning, it's not just having the right idea. You could have the best product sitting on the store, but it's the ability to get that message across.
Well, what's the little three circles, you know, the quadrant where it sits in the middle? You've got You know the little three.
You were talking about the positioning, tools. That
I've got it open because we were chatting about it over the weekend. Because we love this stuff. Can you remember? I've got it here.
Yeah, it's the Venn diagram. Yeah, got it here.
Essentially, it's very simple. Something that customer, and we could put it. You know what? You could share your screen, can't we?
Well, for the people,
I'll share my
listening
screen.
Whilst on the dog walk.
Obvious. Well, I know, but I'll read it out as well.
Yeah.
Share screen.
For some reason, when I open up PowerPoint, my sound goes quiet.
Does it?
Hmm.
So let me share my screen so you can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So simply, it's something that the customer cares about, or which is something the customer wants, job to be done, something they're anxious about. So that's the third and fourth domino. And then it's something that we can prove about our company. So which is, you know, what trust and credibility do we have? And then something that we can communicate it quickly. And where that overlaps is and that's the positioning, isn't it? You know, that's really the key. the key thing, and that's what The Ordinary was able to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, because like something the customer's anxious of was just high quality ingredients that somebody's going to work, somebody we can prove. They obviously probably did some like independent lab tests or something like that to show that, or maybe they got the chief's product person from a top brand and gone to work. It's like when there's the Go Cycle electric bike, and the only reason I want to buy it is because it's done by a McLaren engineer, ex-McLaren engineer. You know, you think, oh, that must be cool. See, like there's that story behind a brand that starts it off. And what I was going to say about The Ordinary is that you can't see that story now by looking at them because they got too big. You'd have to go back to when they did their first 2, 3, 4 million to understand how they got that story started. Because once they got it ignited and it became like the high quality, low cost option in the market, you can't see it because they've built the market. They've covered that market for themselves. And so, but what you want to go back to, I mean, what would be very interesting would be interview the founder of that company and say, right, how did you go from nothing to those first few sales? Yeah. And I bet you,
well, sadly,
they had access to somebody.
He's not alive anymore, unfortunately, is he? It was a tragic story. Yeah. Oh. There was two of them that set it up, and one of them, unfortunately, passed away.
Well, that's it. Money doesn't solve everything.
You can't ask that question.
No. But, you know, that's what, then it becomes interesting, because that's what you actually want to know if you're actually trying to build something. It's like how you get the cut through. You might have the greatest message in the world.
What I would do is do two things. Go back, go look at the Wayback Machine, the Google Wayback Machine. Go look at the first iteration of their website. But also go back to their Instagram and look at their Instagram account. Go right back to the start and have a look at what ad they were posting then, what we were talking about. See where they're positioning, what the positioning was. Mm. You're going to see.
It's all about having the right story, isn't it? Right at the beginning. If you have the right story and you can pitch it, right?
All about having something that resonates with the customer, that they care about. It's, you know, that,
or
you can communicate easily
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much, Ian.
All right, Mark. You too. Oh, cheerio. Good. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.